gender queer,
a term which refers to individuals who queer or problematize the hegemonic notions of sex, gender and desire in a given society.
Rommel, however, steps in to simplify it on Querilicious. This is Querilicious
with Rommel on Q Radio.
Hi and welcome to a brand new episode of Querilicious with me, Rommel, and with me today in the studio, I've got Chandrasekhar Prabhu. Woohoo! Welcome to the show, Chandrasekhar.
Thank you, Rommel.
Chandra, you will have to speak into the mic. I keep saying this to every single person and I sound terrible when I say it, but you need to speak into the mic.
Thank you, Rommel.
Okay. So, Chandra, first of all, thank you so much for coming to the studio on a holiday.
You're welcome, Rommel.
Okay, are you going to keep talking to me like that all through? You're welcome, Rommel. Thank you, Rommel.
Well, I don't have a lot of options right now, so yeah.
No, you can talk exactly how you need to talk, because see, look at that. Okay, talk.
Yes.
See how soft you are. You'll have to be a little louder, okay? Right. Other people are not going to hear you. Okay, so let's start off from the very beginning. When did you first realize that there might be something different about you, that you might be queer, that you might be... What do you identify as, actually?
I would definitely identify myself as gay.
Okay, so if you identify yourself as being gay, then it's safe for me to ask you, when did you first realize that you might be gay?
If I had to answer that I think that would be when I... around the age of 13 or 14, when I first found out the whole world of porn and computers and internet and all at that point. So yeah, it would definitely be around 13 or 14. I'm not entirely sure exact.
Okay.
Yeah, but around somewhere when I was 13 or 14, I'm guessing.
So your first introduction to being gay was porn?
Strangely, yes.
I don't think many people have that story, so that's really interesting. So I'm going to like be really cheap and ask you, why did you start surfing for gay porn? I mean, obviously that was...
I didn't start surfing for gay porn.
It's okay.
We were on, I mean, a group of us were online and mm-hmm. and someone got a pop-up of an internet porn.
Okay.
And that led to me first being exposed to porn, and I thought,
you would never watch porn before that?
No.
Okay.
This was when porn was a new thing.
Okay, we've just got a message, Chandru. Nobody can hear you at all, so you need to be a little louder, because I'm trying really hard. I put the volume completely up. Okay. You have to talk into the mic. Okay.
Okay, I should try that.
I think it's much better now. Okay.
So yeah, when we were...
Much better.
Okay, so when we were...
Let's do that all over again. So basically, I was talking to Chandru and asking him about when he first figured out that he might be gay, and he said that his first introduction to being gay was probably when he came across porn, and this was an accident, right?
Yeah, there were a bunch of guys surfing the web, and
okay.
Porn ad came up. I mean, this was the time when internet security wasn't that...
I know, those horrible pop-ups, oh god, yes.
You had... pop-ups all over the place, and if there's a tiny little virus, you'll get a bazillion pop-ups. So advertising Viagra, advertising shopping deals, advertising everything possible under the sun. So,
absolutely.
This is how one of the pop-ups came up, and I was curious
mm-hmm.
because although we knew about sex back then, I mean, I had studied about sex even before sex ed was taught to us in
mm-hmm.
the 9th or 10th, if I'm not mistaken. But
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I
knew all about. How babies are created. I didn't need to talk about birds and bees.
Uh-huh.
And I knew about sex.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know of the concept of porn, because for me, I didn't understand why someone else would watch
some
people have sex. I mean, it's something sacred, something between two people. So
are you saying that at the age of 14, you assume that sex is sacred?
It was something private. Not
wow. Okay.
I don't see why people would want to watch other people do something that's supposed to be private and confidential. So
absolutely.
But
you do realize, like, you're one in a million, right? In a world of voyeurism, you're like one in a million.
I disagree. I don't think there'll be all that many people who would think that. I mean, I
mm-hmm.
think a lot of people would agree that sex is something private and not to be...
Definitely. I completely agree with you.
Shared,
but,
or,
you know, I know a lot of people who would also very openly say that, hey, I do enjoy watching other people have sex. So.
True. I mean, now that I've grown up and now that I'm 27 and
mm-hmm.
almost 27.
Okay.
Like that. I would definitely think that, you know,
you can.
Porn caters to an audience.
Absolutely.
And there is an audience that watches other people have sex. And it's a commercialized thing. And I don't know exactly how it sells, in the sense that it caters to a psychological need.
Mm-hmm,
that is need for people. So I guess there is a need for porn.
Okay.
But nonetheless, porn did start off the entire episode.
Okay, so after figuring out that you might be interested in sexual acts with men, if let me put it that way, but after realizing that, when did it dawn on to you that, hey, I might actually have another sexuality?
See, I didn't actually get into the whole getting into sexual acts with men. First, I was always drawn to the male anatomy.
Wow.
Let me put it that way.
You're an aesthetic, aren't you? You're this total aesthetic guy who goes like, oh, I'm drawn to the human body. It's beautiful. I like the way a man's ass looks. It's taut or whatever.
I definitely find beauty in a male body. I mean,
absolutely. Like, we all do, and I'm just taking your trip, man. We all do. Yes.
But yeah.
I mean, we should probably tell our listeners that Chandru and me were together in college, by the way. And so when he was in college, I had no clue that he was gay. Did you know you were gay?
Probably not. I mean, I definitely knew, but it wasn't...
It wasn't important, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't something I chose to be. Let me put it that way.
Okay, so let's go back to that. So then, your first realization of you possibly having an alternate sexuality was when you watched porn.
Yeah.
And then, how did it build?
So I started looking up male anatomy more and more often.
Okay.
And back then, we didn't have... Porn was, like...
Very hard to come by, yes.
Hard to come by, but also very... not so put in boxes. These days, you have various genres.
I know, yeah, very specific genres, absolutely.
They tend to be very specific, but mm-hmm. back then you didn't have that much.
True.
And the attention was more on the bodies and artistic interpretation of that, you could say.
So you're saying that when you started watching porn, it was more about erotica than porn?
Yes, because
okay.
I started reading a lot of internet stories and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mostly internet stories and mostly pictures, not MPEGs or ASFs, not most of streaming content, mostly
okay.
pictures and erotica, and I would build up fantasies in my head.
Okay.
And, you know, that's how I was drawn to it. And
okay, so when did you first decide to act on these feelings? Or realize that this might actually define who you were, in terms of your sexuality?
When did I turn to... I think it would be around... Again, acting on it had a lot of stages. I mean,
absolutely.
There was first going online and making myself available out there.
Absolutely.
And then taking the next step where I meet a person in real life. So
mm-hmm.
First, I started using a website, internet website, for people of different sexualities to come together and chat.
Was this G4M?
No, this was way long back. This was
wow.
in 2000 and... If I'm not mistaken, 1999 and 2000.
Dude, you were gay way before me then.
Yes, but the thing is, I did not admit to myself that I was gay back then. So.
I think I came onto the scene when G4M was popular. So if you've been there before that, then
that's how it started off. I used mm-hmm. This chat program where people would...
MIRC?
No, it wasn't MIRC. It was...
Okay. Even before that. Okay.
I shall not use the name of the website, but
mm-hmm.
it was... chat forum where you have to give yourself a tiny nickname.
Mm-hmm.
No email, no sign up required. Just give a name and just log in and you know, you can go on chat. You have
mm-hmm.
various sub-genres based on area, based on
mm-hmm.
age groups, based on fetishes maybe. And
wow.
So.
And this was all on the internet?
Yes, this was all on the
amazing.
Internet. So that's
okay.
how I chatted with a lot of people back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I started figuring out what exactly I like about the male anatomy, what
mm-hmm.
exactly I like about people seeing two men do each other. And,
mm-hmm.
I also indulged a little in, you could say, internet sexting, if that's such a thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Internet sex, yeah, totally.
So that's how I experimented in and... And got
wow.
into the whole internet chatting thing. But then, that's a thing of the past. I mean, there are more avenues now and I explore more. And
thank God for that. That was really interesting that I think you're one of the few people who actually has the guts to claim that, hey, that's the way I figured out that I was gay through porn, which is quite kick-ass, I must say. But let's move on from that. Let's go over the figuring out part. Like, when did you first decide to act on it? So let me be more specific and ask you, when did you first decide to actually start meeting guys?
That would be in my first year or second year. First year, I think, of PU.
Of PU?
Yes.
Okay.
I was chatting with someone online. And then, back then, I had a handful of people who were from Bangalore and from India as well. So, I was chatting with this guy online from Bangalore. And then, we had been chatting for quite a while, like 4 to 5 months.
Okay.
And we had never met up. So, I suggested, why don't we meet up? So, after close to 4 to 5 months of chatting online, we finally decided to meet in person. And
those are the days of patience, man. I'm telling you. I don't think anyone in the gay community today or the queer community at large has the patience to chat with someone for 4 months these days.
4 months? Forget 4 months. I don't think it lasts for 4 weeks.
You chatted for 4 weeks. Wow.
You have a conversation for 4 hours. Yeah,
it's a huge deal. Yeah, absolutely. Go on. Sorry, I just nudged.
So we decided to meet up, and I met him, and I had no expectations. We hadn't exchanged pictures.
Okay.
We hadn't exchanged descriptions. We just talked about what we like to do and stuff. So, we met, and I figured out he wasn't my type and not what I wanted, and so nothing happened there, but that is the first time I made a decision to actually meet someone. So it was a big step for me, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was terrified at the thought of meeting someone and what will I do? What do I do?
Okay.
And all that. And nonetheless, I guess I got over that fear and met someone.
Okay.
The nervousness of meeting someone is still always there.
Obviously, it still is there. I mean, years.
I made that one step and I knew that, you know, that wasn't so bad. I can meet another person maybe. I can, you know, take the chance and get over it.
Are you still in touch with this person?
No, surprisingly. Or unsurprisingly.
That's okay. I think that's awesome, actually. So that was the first attempt and it didn't go really well. You said something about being aware of your type. And, you know, that's something that I'd love to talk about on air. Because a lot of people are not too sure, especially in this generation, a lot of people are not really comfortable talking about what their type is. And so I would like to know that even though you weren't completely aware of who you were sexually or who you were sexuality-wise, you were already aware of your type.
Pretty much, yes.
Is this because you approach sexuality from a purely body perspective, since you said you were really attracted to the male physique?
Yes, but I don't know exactly how my mind processes these things, so that would be a very hard question to answer. But yes, I met him, I saw him, I looked at him.
And
I
you just realized this wasn't my thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sexually attracted, and that was the whole basis of our meeting.
I just wish it was that clear for a lot of other people, because, you know, I've been speaking to people on this show for months now. It's almost been 2 months since I started this show, and believe me, there are so many people, especially from the younger generation, who are all over the place when it comes to types, when it comes to what they want, when it comes to what they don't want. And sometimes it's a good thing, but sometimes I guess being sorted out is also nice.
To each their own, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people figure it out through a slow and steady process.
Absolutely.
Maybe. And some people want to experiment and jump in the whole wide area.
So you'd be the perfect person to ask this to then. So over the years, has your type changed?
Yes, it has. I mean, definitely it has.
But then that's a healthy thing, definitely.
It has become more refined, I would say. It hasn't changed as much as becoming more and more refined.
You've chiseled away the bad parts.
Yeah, I could say that, because I know exactly what I want and what I don't want. So, yeah.
That is fabulous. Okay, I'm in conversation with Chandrasekhar Prabhu, and we're talking about all kinds of things, including his awesome queer life. We've just reached the point where he's telling us about how he took that step to go and finally meet a man. And sadly, it went, you know, awry, but did another experience happen after that where you kind of were successful? And I'm not, I'm not meaning anything, I'm just saying successful.
Well, the next time I decided to meet someone was way much later, because after this one incident, I decided I don't want to meet, I had very few options as it is, so I met this guy and then wasn't my type, so I didn't meet, I was terrified after that incident, because
okay.
It was a very embarrassing incident. So I did not meet him. I did not message him. I can only imagine. Yeah, some people might think I'm a jerk because of that. But yeah, hey, I was a kid back then.
Hey, everyone's someone's jerk. That's something that life has taught me. That however sweet you might be, you're always a jerk in someone's life. So it's totally fine.
Totally true. So the next time I decided to actually meet someone was after I figured out my sexuality. Whether I actually wanted to do something, whether I actually wanted to be with a man or not.
And how much later was this? Was it the same year or a year after that?
No, it was several years later. It was after I come out.
So wait, in between that meeting one guy and when you actually finally came out, did this part of you never come up? Were you not curious enough to ever figure out more about yourself in this?
I was, but I did not use the internet. I did not use... I think that the internet was the only medium where you could meet back then or find people back then. So I did not go on the website anymore.
Did you try dating girls?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and was it successful? How successful were you?
If it were successful, I wouldn't be here almost.
Okay, I don't know. A lot of people have actually successfully dated women and still ended up being gay. So that's exactly why I asked you that.
No, I was pretty much clear on my sexuality. So
I just hope they're friends with you right now. Those
they
girls.
Are.
That is so awesome. Okay. And we've got a caller. Hi, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name is Bhagya.
I'm sorry?
And my name is Bhagya.
Hi, Bhagya. Welcome to the show.
Sorry?
Welcome to the show, Bhagya.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, so then, I was just listening to how Romal was crying about it.
Thank you so much for calling
Yeah.
Okay, Bhagya, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from BTM. I'm Chandrasekhar's friend.
Okay, from BTM in Bangalore. Okay, superb.
Yeah.
So do you have any message that you'd like to give Chandrasekhar on in our studio?
I do, and I think he knows, but then I just need him to know that we're all very proud of him. I mean, whatever he's saying on air, it would take a lot of balls. I wouldn't be able to do that. And I think it's pretty awesome that he's saying whatever he's saying.
Absolutely.
You know, about the human anatomy.
I know, man. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we take a trip a lot for being like so prim and proper always. But then, I mean, he's just like making so much sense right now.
You know what? You should take a trip for being prim and proper because there's so few people who are like that. So.
No, it's just nice. Otherwise, we wouldn't have fun at work.
So do you work with Chandru? Is that
awesome?
Yeah,
I do. Okay. We're in the same team, yeah.
That is amazing. Okay, now Bhagya, I'm going to ask you something really interesting. So, since you work with Chandru, what's that one thing about Chandru at his workplace that you know that most other people don't know?
I think we all know everything about him because, like you said, like the first thing that stands out is that he's so prim and proper.
Okay.
And we all notice that. And we keep taking his case for it also.
Okay.
But, I'm sure, like, you know that everything about him, he's pretty open about everything.
Absolutely.
And he's not
the kind who
would keep anything to himself and like keep it in his mind, like die slowly or something. So if I know something, I'm pretty sure other people know about it too.
But you could share it with our listeners because I know a lot of people are online trying to figure out more about Chandru. Though I'm going to break all their hearts in just a bit. But anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I think one thing is it's definitely like fun to sit with him and like check out other guys. And like it's nice. It's nice that I can do that with him.
Do you all share the same kind of guys?
No,
not really, no.
That's a good thing, by the way. So then you don't check out the same person. So that's good.
we have like a little bitching sessions where we go on and on. He's such a good listener. And then I'm also such a good listener.
So who talks then?
No, I mean, we take turns to talk.
Aww, so organized. I love it when friends are so organized. Okay, now you go. Now you go.
No, we just know when to like talk and then stop. I think he has days when he has to rant a lot and then I have days when I have to rant a lot.
Absolutely.
So,
Bhagya, thank you. Yeah, tell me.
I just want to know why Chandrasekhar is being so quiet.
He's busy here blushing, smiling.
Don't you know me enough?
It's okay, see, don't cry. We all love you.
Chandru, Bhagya.
Okay, Bhagya, thank you so much for calling in. Please stay tuned for the rest of the show. Yeah?
Will do.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was a call from Bhagya, a friend of Chandrasekhar Prabhu's from BTM Layout in Bangalore. I mean, if you want, you can go and... Can people stalk you on Facebook, Chandra?
Yeah.
Is your profile accessible?
No, it's accessible only to friends, so...
Okay, so you can't stalk him on Facebook. I'm really sorry. Otherwise, you could have gone and checked him out. He's quite cute, so... Okay, now I think for those of them who are checking you out, though, we must kind of break the bubble and tell them that you are seeing someone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so people who have your eyes on him, I'm sorry, he's taken. He's spoken for. So yeah, sadly, so sorry. This is one person I can't pimp on radio. I'm really upset. Okay, now going back to that story that we started off. So when was it that you actually decided that, hey, I have to deal with my sexuality? You said it was many years after that incident where you met this guy mm-hmm. that didn't go really well. So what prompted you to make that decision? Was it a series of events? Was it one particular event? And how successful were you?
I think it was a gradual build-up of, you know, frustration and, I don't know, a lot of things. Because, as I said, I did not use any other mediums. I shut myself off to the internet and, or rather... going online and trying to find someone, and so I didn't do anything about it after PU and degree college. I didn't do anything. So that's probably one of the reasons why you did not know that I was gay back then in college as well.
Uh-huh.
Not just for the fact that I wasn't out, but I didn't choose to do anything about it as well. And due to this, I had a lot of angst, frustration of not being myself, not being able to express myself freely, not being comfortable in my own skin.
Okay.
So this eventually built up to a point where I had to tell someone about this.
Uh-huh.
I had to come out. Uh-huh. And so this is when I decided, you know, like, because I had developed crushes on guys. I had uh-huh. fallen for guys. And I hadn't been able to deal with it. I hadn't been able to do anything with it because I hadn't figured out myself yet.
Okay.
So that was the time I decided to do something about it, to take the time. And since after degree college, I had a lot of time to think about it.
Absolutely.
I decided to make the best use of that time and figure out who I want to be in life and uh-huh. think about my sexuality as well. Because it's not something like going and buying at the grocers or something. It's something you decide for life.
True.
At least the world that I live uh-huh. in. I stick to things that are permanent.
Absolutely. So, and I think sexuality and the sexuality you decide to choose for the rest of your life. When I say choose, obviously I don't mean that sexuality is something that you choose. But you do choose to live that life.
True. So, for me, it's something permanent. I can't choose to do something that's very ephemeral. So, that's when I decided that, you know, I have to come out to someone.
Uh-huh.
And the first person I came out to was my best friend, Reva.
Uh-huh.
And that's how... I got a positive reaction from her.
Awesome.
And that gave me probably the biggest impetus to come out to other people because
mm-hmm.
getting one positive reaction, the first positive reaction...
That was the first person you came out to and it was positive.
Yes. So
that is brilliant.
That gave me a lot of motivation.
Absolutely.
And freedom to come out to other people, you know. Mm-hmm. And today, I don't have any problems telling other people that I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I keep it private as well. And not that I don't want to share it with people, but at the same time, I reveal it on a need-to-know basis. Like, if they uh-huh. don't need to know, I don't see any reason why they have to know about my sexuality.
And at the end of the day, I think it's a choice that we make, you know. We
True,
decide who
needs
to
which is why I like
know.
To keep it that way.
Absolutely. I must ask you this, though, because we were in college together and mm-hmm. we did do French together. So, did you ever know I was gay?
No. I don't think so.
Because I was quite out. I mean, I know we've never had that conversation in college.
True, but we never had a personal...
We never did, no. We did share a lot of friends, but
True.
Yeah. Good. Okay, so after you came out, when did you first actually meet a guy and it went well? I really want to hear that story, because...
It went well. That's an interesting thing, because it's never... It's been getting better, but never well as such until... I don't know.
You know what, actually, you take your time. Think about that. Hi, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Arup.
Hi, Arup. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
where are you calling from, Arup?
I'm calling from Hennur.
Hennur in Bangalore. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so Arup, would you like to talk to me or Chandru or anyone?
Hi, Arup.
I'll try and talk to both of you, but
okay.
I have a small question for maybe you both can...
Okay, go ahead and ask that question, yeah.
Since you are both open about your sexuality,
mm-hmm.
I was wondering how long did it take to adjust yourself to society's view. Society is, it doesn't accept these things as such. So how do you guys manage, and how long did it take?
Okay, so do you want to go first, Chandru?
Well, I would say I didn't adjust to society's needs because I always believe in being myself, and I don't want to succumb to the society's expectations of me. That being said, I haven't really faced difficulty from society because, like I said, the world that I live in has been primarily accepting of me and my sexuality. So I haven't really faced any negative reaction or experience yet. Although I have had people who haven't accepted me for who they are, but then again, there are people who do not really matter in my life. So not like I'm missing out on much.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll let you.
Okay. So my answer to that, Arup, is basically. So I must say that I come from generally the society around me, and you know, even though we live in the same country, our societies are quite different. And the society that I grew up in was never really judgmental about sexuality or things like that. Though I do come from a very strong Christian family and a very strong Christian community. And so when I did come out, my biggest problem was not really about the fact that I was gay, but that it was against the religion that I was supposedly a part of. Okay. And so yeah, it took a lot of time, and I might say that even though I came out at 16, I'm 27 now, and even though I came out at 16, it took almost 5 to 6 years for my mother to make peace with that. Okay, my father made peace with it almost immediately, but the rest of my family did make peace with it at their own sweet time. And I think that at the end of the day, it was as much as I wanted them to accept me, I had to accept them for who they were, right? So I couldn't really force myself onto them. I was happy that they accepted me for who I was, but I knew that it was going to take time. On the other hand, when I did come out to my friend circle, a lot of my friends stayed by me and said that it didn't matter what sexuality, you know, I chose to live by. And at the same time, some of my friends decided to move away. And I'm quite happy that they moved away because I got better friends and I moved on and my life has turned into something that I wanted to be. So, yes, the way society deals with you is something, I guess, how you let it deal with you. Making that really clear that... If I was the kind of person who really wanted social approval from every single person in my life, then I think I would be quite upset about my conditions even right now. But considering the fact that, like Chandru, I don't really care about a lot of people and what they think of me, it's been quite smooth, actually.
I think people will accept you if you accept yourself.
Yeah, it's all about accepting yourself. And so I think like the odd one or two people who have a problem with me being gay really stop mattering to me in the larger picture. So, yeah.
Can I just chime in with an afterthought as well?
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you think the situation has been in the, say, last 2 years or so? Has it been improving, or what's the scene actually?
Personally, I think the scene has been improving, and I, you know, the best way for me to mark this is actually not through the gay community, but through the straight community. Like, a lot more people within the straight community are actually open to experimenting these days, and that's because sexuality is something that has finally come out into the open, and people are talking about it. So, you know, people don't really need to hide the fact that they're bi-curious or that they're bisexual or any of those things, any of those sexualities. And so I guess when you have a society where straight people, especially in a city like Bangalore, where straight people aren't ashamed to tell you that, you know what, I think I'm kind of into a guy, but I'm not too sure, so I need to figure this out. I think when they are open enough to talk like that, I think we're getting to where we want to be. So, yeah.
That's a perfect society. Everybody should have his or her personal freedom in whatever way.
Chandru, what do you think about that question, the afterthought? Yeah, so he basically asked, so do you think society has changed in the last 2 years?
2 years, probably not as much as it has changed in the last decade, because given that sexuality was a taboo subject 10 years back, and now it's quite out and open. You know, you can, there's no problem of, there's no opposition to your discussing your sexuality,
absolutely,
experimenting. I think it's much more easier now than, say, it was 10 years back. Although, I think it's a continuous, gradual process, but it keeps getting better and better, and not something that, there's no end point, there's always,
absolutely,
it's something that keeps getting better, because I don't think there's ever going to be a place where everybody will accept us for who we are. There'll always be opposition to who we are.
Very true.
I think on the whole where you get acceptance from society on the larger scale, the percentage of people who accept you for who you are, I think when that number becomes more, I think that's when you can say it's become a better place.
Okay, so does that answer your question, Arup?
Yep, that answers my question perfectly.
Okay.
Thanks for your input, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in, Arup. And
Can I just have one last word?
Please do.
I hope Chandra doesn't get offended, but would you please ask him to speak a little louder or into the mic?
Yes, Chandra, you need to talk louder. I've been trying to tell him. Thank you so much, Arup, for saying that.
Yeah,
the mic is on full volume, dude.
I'll try to be a little bit louder for you, Arup.
Yeah, you need to, because even the mic is splitting right now. So, thank you so much for calling in, Arup, and please listen to the whole show. We've got so much more about Chandru's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You finally, you know, being at peace with yourself, and you told me you'll tell me when your first meeting went well, a meeting with a guy. So, do you remember now?
I don't exactly remember the time frame, but I guess it was when. I had come out in 2009, December 2009, and after that, the first time I met a guy on a date was January 2010, and then that didn't go well.
Okay.
February, not so well as well. So I guess it was sometime in July or August, I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the time I met this guy, and I could say that's the first time I had a good...
Mm-hmm.
I could say that it went well because the guy was okay. I could get along with him. I could.
Uh-huh.
It was a good click, at least for that part, for my part.
Okay.
So that's the first time I could say a date went well.
Nice.
And yeah, of course, I'm not in touch with him anymore. But nonetheless, that was the first time I had a good date.
I hope the person who you met is listening to this show. And if you are listening to the show, you should definitely call in. And embarrass Chandru on my behalf. I am in conversation with Chandrasekhar Prabhu, and we're, you know, talking about his awesome, awesome queer life. So, we've come to the point of where you were finally comfortable with who you are. And then you start meeting guys, and lots of things happened, and lots of sex happened, we're assuming. But then...
Keep that on assumption.
I can make assumptions. You can always say I'm wrong. It's absolutely all right. Okay, so all those things happened, but when did you actually start looking for a relationship, and how successful were you?
I think from the very beginning, I wanted a relationship because, like I said, right, sex was something private. So
absolutely.
I wanted it with someone who meant something, not just a one-night stand. So
absolutely.
I always wanted a relationship. At least it's not like outright. I don't go out on the date with the agenda that yes, I will get in a relationship with this person. But that was intention. I didn't intend to hook up with that person and meet him with that agenda. So yes, I did always want a relationship, and yeah, that's how I started off dating. That was the whole purpose behind me going out on dates.
So were you successful at the first attempt itself? Because I know how the gay community is, I know how the queer community is, and a lot of people eventually get very disheartened by the kind of, you know, people they meet and the kind of promises that are made and things that people don't live up to their promises and stuff like that. So were you also one of those guys?
I was very clear on what I wanted, and I, as you know, I tend to be very open and quite clear on what I want and what I don't want. Although that has come about. I wasn't always this very clear about what I wanted and didn't want.
Okay.
So, I started dating once I came out. That was in 2010.
Okay.
And it wasn't until October or November 2010 that I actually met someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a relationship with them. And so unfortunately, it didn't last. Fortunately, because now... If I had ended up in that relationship, I wouldn't be here today.
You make it sound like that person would have killed you or something.
No, not that. I meant in the sense that I wouldn't be in another relationship.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that you're in a happy relationship right now. So we should talk about this one. Let's forget about the past. So how did you meet the person in question who you are totally allowed to keep the secret or talk about right now? It's all up to you.
Okay, his name is Edwin.
You
can say hi to him.
Hi, Edwin. I think you're listening. So hello from Romal. We've never met, but I'd love to meet you soon. So what? Okay, he's talking to me in sign language. I don't know what he's saying. Okay, but anyway, we should meet very soon, and I'd love to meet you both. But yeah, tell me, how did the Edwin love story happen?
Unsurprisingly, surprisingly, it wasn't online.
That is so awesome.
Yes, indeed, because I personally would have liked to meet someone in person, with, you know, not having met because of a date, but random two paths crossing each other, and then you meet them, and then you like them, and then you find out more about them. You maybe internet stalk them. You find out whatever you can about them, and then you make your move or get moved on. I don't know what the word is, but yeah. So I guess we met at a carnival that was organized by Queer Campus.
Okay, so this is quite a while ago then.
Yes, quite a while ago. Okay. And unfortunately, I wasn't, to put in a better word, up for grabs back then.
So I like how you sell yourself, I must say, Chandru. Okay.
So I wasn't available to date him yet. So nothing happened. And back then I was already pursuing someone else. So I did not choose to act upon him. But nonetheless, it was nice to know that there's someone who is my type and who wanted me. Or not wanted
that's
me.
That's always reassuring. Yeah. No, that's reassuring. It's reassuring to know that someone you're interested in is also interested in you. True. That's a very reassuring feeling.
So, then I got out of the attempt that I was trying for last year. And then we met finally in June this year.
Wow.
After close to close to 8 to 10 months, I think.
Okay.
And till date, I haven't met him for the reason we first met out. We first went out on a date for. He was supposed to give me a fixture for a painting that I bought at Chitrasanthe.
Which hasn't happened as yet.
No.
Excuse me, Edwin.
You can imagine. 4 months and I still haven't gotten that fixture.
Edwin, where is that fixture? But that is so cute that y'all have been together for 4 months and you're so positive about this relationship. And touch wood, I hope it lasts for a very, very, very long time.
I think it will.
It should. I mean, if both of you are in love with each other and you both are totally chilled out, and I think you both seem really mature, so, you know, y'all will know how to deal with this relationship.
True.
And I don't know. I don't know Edwin well enough to talk about him, but I know you've been through ups and downs and you've been through enough of, you know, terrible relationships and really good ones. So I know that you know how you're going to make this one work out. So where do you see yourself going? I mean, do you want to just give this like a few years and then probably figure out where you want to end up with him, or you're going to like jump for it straight away and get married, or, you know, anything?
Well, right now we're taking it
every day as it comes.
Steady, and yes, we do intend, we are committed to each other.
Which
and
is brilliant.
In the long run, yes, marriage will definitely be on the books.
Okay.
We're pretty much clear in the sense that it's not going to be anytime soon, because he's still studying and I have yet to be in a place where I can be myself. I'm not settled in life yet.
Okay.
So until that point is reached where we both are individuals who are independent, we will not be,
you know. But at the end of the day, I think if y'all have already decided that y'all are going to be be with each other through thick or thin, there is no other problem. So
true, because
that's
we both are pretty much clear that we both want each other, and we are pretty much set on making this work. We talk about our problems that we have,
which is very good.
About everything. So yeah, I don't see any problem at all, actually.
That is really awesome. It's so nice to finally talk to someone who's in a relationship and someone who's part of the queer community for so long. So now that we found out about your love, we know that you're in love and that you're in a great relationship. Let me find out what you think about the community. So you've been an out and proud gay man for the last 4 years, I'm thinking. 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
4 years.
4 years. So what have you seen change in the community? What do you think works? What do you think doesn't work? Tell me your take on the community. What would you like to see changed? What you think works? You know, things that you really think the community should let go of, problems that you've seen in the community, things that you think are really good and we need to build on that. So basically your opinions.
About the community.
Absolutely.
I think, one, the community needs to be more individualistic. In terms that, I think a lot of people, what I've seen, what I've observed from the community is that a lot of people tend to be gay or lesbian or transgender or whoever they tend to identify as, they use that as their whole identity.
Okay.
I mean, yes, I am gay, but that does not define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That does not. When I introduce myself, I don't say, "Hi, I'm Chandrasekhar and I'm gay." Mm-hmm. For me, gay is being it's another feature or aspect about me, like how I weigh 65, 67 kgs, or mm-hmm. I'm 5'8" tall. So just another feature about me, you know. It's not something I would like to advertise to people,
okay.
Or it's not something that I'm proud of, or it's not my marketing point as well.
It's not your USP, you're saying.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Okay. No, but you know, Chandru, this is something that I've had in conversation with other people also, and I've always said that while I completely get that, yeah, being gay is not everything about you, there are people like me, for example, who are... I'm not saying that I'm all out there and I'm proud, I'm far too proud to tell everyone that I'm gay, but to me, being gay is about being me. That's it. It's everything.
That's to you,
yeah.
Normal, but that's you. What most people tell, mm-hmm. that's my personal observation.
No, personal observations and opinions are absolutely fine. But I would like to know, for example, let's talk about the both of us, like, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you've known me for long enough. You've known me and you know how comfortable I am in my skin and mm-hmm. how proudly I am as a gay man. So, is me attributing everything in my life to my sexuality wrong in your view?
Attributing everything to your sexuality is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then you do things primarily because you are you. You are Romal.
And for me, and you do me, things that Romal and gay are the same thing.
To you, it may be Romal, okay. But to me, it's not. That's why I said it's a personal observation.
Okay.
I would like people to do things because who they are, not because they are gay. If that makes sense to you.
Still doesn't. Which is why I think you'll have to be more specific and tell me what you mean by that.
For example, if someone is...
Whoever's trying to call Chandru, stop calling him now. He's on air.
Okay. What I have seen, since I was closely involved with QC, I've noticed a lot of kids have this need, or not need, I would say, once they're in the comfort zone, they tend to be as gay as they can. I'm not saying that's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they should try and realize who they want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily be gay because they can be gay or because they choose to be gay.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this is coming off.
No, it isn't, which is why, you know, a lot of people say this, and I'd like to know what exactly they mean by it.
Be yourself. I'm not...
But what if yourself is being gay? Then what do you do?
That's fine, but okay. I find it really
mm-hmm.
unconvincing if a lot of people just suddenly want to be, like, really gay.
And by really gay, you mean?
I mean, I might sound very... homophobic.
No, it's not. See, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. This is your opinion mm-hmm. about the community and how it needs to behave does not mean that you are homophobic. What I'm saying is it needs to be more clear. Like, whenever people say this, and I'm sure there is some sort of a rational behind it. It's not that so many people feel this way and, you know, they're just feeling it because they want to. They are feeling it because there's obviously something that they're thinking about. So I need to know what exactly that means, because a lot of people have told me this, you know, that I have a huge problem when people define their existence through their sexuality.
So, okay, maybe the point I would like to mm-hmm. use this previous example where I said, mm-hmm. I don't introduce myself as gay.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, when they introduce themselves, you have no reason to doubt whether they're gay or not, or for that matter, lesbian or not, because they tend to make it so obvious that their sexuality is out there. You do not have a question. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm okay with them being so, if they want to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be that way because you're expected to be that way. Or don't conform to expectations of who a gay man...
See, now, there we're getting to the point. So your problem is not with who they are, but if they are being different because they assume that is what they're expected to be.
True, I have no problems with who uh-huh. they are.
So then, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted you to get to.
Expression of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay, I think that's a valid point, yeah. If you aren't that person, and if you're putting on this whole fake persona, if you're building up a facade just so that you fit into the community better, then that's a huge problem. Yeah, that I totally accept.
Because, see, I've met a lot of people who are extremely effeminate
mm-hmm.
when they're in the comfort zone, and totally opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very straight acting in public.
Mm-hmm.
And the vice versa as well,
mm-hmm.
who can be extremely gay in public, but not so very comfortable in a queer community. And which strikes me as a little odd, because...
So you hate double lives, basically.
Yeah, and I don't mm-hmm. see the reason why... I mean, I can understand why they choose to lead double lives, but I think after a point, you have to figure out who you want to be, you know, whether you want to play this game of playing, playing hide and seek or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, leading two lives, telling other people you're not, you are straight, and pretending to be straight and living a gay life behind their backs or behind the confines of your bedroom or.
So I think to sum it all up, you're saying that you would prefer if people just were themselves. And
no,
not
I mean,
putting on these different
themselves.
Fans.
I, mean,
okay.
I don't mean they have to make it, put it out in the public, but just accept themselves. Be who they want to be, not what they're expected to be.
Okay, so do not be who you're expected to be, but at the same time, make peace with yourself.
True.
Yeah. Okay, so that sums it up. Now tell me about things that you, other things that you like about the community or things that you detest about the community.
Detest about the
detest
community.
This is a platform for you to bitch also, so come on, use it.
Well, there are plenty of things, Romal, I detest about the community. But then, I guess it's, as with any community, it has its perks, it has its ups.
But you know, Chandru, we're a really small community, and if people don't talk about these problems, we're never, ever going to get rid of them. Which is why it needs to be said, which is why I'm asking you to do it.
Okay, for example, I've observed that word tends to get around really, really fast in the community. And that's one thing I do not like, because people love to bitch, people love to gossip, people love to do that. I'm not talking about the queer community. Even normally, people love to gossip and spread stories, rumors fly fast.
True.
And if this happens in normal society, you can expect the queer community to be even more...
take it like into 10x.
Yeah, because we tend to be a small knit community. I mean,
we're smaller, we know each other, there's 1 degree of separation, so yeah.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah. So there tends to be a lot of rumoring and bitching and gossiping. And this makes it worse when, you know, you hear several stories about one individual from different angles, and every different angle has a different aspect to it. So at sometimes you hear so much about this one person, and you're really wondering, like, okay, you have this image built up in your head about that one person, and you're not even met that person, but you already know so much that you probably want to meet them, or you're so disgusted by
that you don't want to meet them. True.
Or you've heard plain, neutral, bad, good stories, and you're wondering what is up
not
with this
a good
person.
Idea. Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing I would like community to change, because I don't want, as it is, we are humans, we gossip well enough. We don't need to be gossiping amongst ourselves.
Absolutely.
Throwing mud around, tarnishing images, or making things out of nothing.
Okay, so here's a request going out from both Chandru and from me to people from all across the queer community about gossip mongering, about rumor mongering. We're a small community, and the opinions that you might have for someone, even if they're not real or if they are, you know, slightly biased, can affect the opinions of several other people who do not know that person.
I doubt it's going to change, Romal, because...
Yeah, but you can always request, so...
Yeah, I guess one can always hope.
So, yeah, I completely understand. I've also faced a lot of problems because of rumor mongering. But at the end of the day, I must say that, you know, some people gain a lot of entertainment out of it. And I don't think it's right for us to judge them. So if they're getting entertainment, you know, one solution to this, however, would be, and people like you and me can't always do this, is that never take anyone's opinion about anyone else till you meet them. Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's really annoying when you get to hear so much about other people and you're like, is this true? I wonder if it's true.
You should just go meet that person in person.
No, I personally don't... It's just gossip for me. It's just rumors and gossip for me. So I'm not interested in meeting the person.
Okay.
But nonetheless, I mean, like, why can't just people shut up and let the person be? You know, I mean, why spread rumors? Why spread stories? If they want to be who they want to be, let them be. Why talk about it?
Because some people, as I said, gain entertainment from that. So we can't really judge them. And I think you...
I would judge them if they're... gossiping, rumor mongering hurt someone.
True.
I mean, I'm pretty sure nobody wants to be bitched about or gossiped about.
Oh, no. There are people who do enjoy being bitched or gossiped about. I've heard a lot of, and I'm not taking names, but I hear a lot of friends who say, you know, it's always better to be in the news than to be forgotten about. So
I wouldn't want to meet such person.
Okay, so that's the bad stuff. Now, what about the good stuff? What are the things about the community that you like and things that you think that we need to build up on?
One thing that I like is I think that we always have a support system.
Okay.
I mean, there's always people whom we can reach out to. And
absolutely.
If there's ever a need for us to come together as a community,
mm-hmm.
I think you always find that support, you know.
True.
I don't think there's any problem with, like, if there's any problem with regard, I mean, if there's any issue, an LGBTQI-related issue, I don't think you'd ever have a problem finding supporters for your cause, because there are plenty of people, plenty of organizations, Good As You, Swabhava,
mm-hmm.
Samara, and others, which provide you with the support that you need, if
absolutely.
At all you need it. So I don't think you'd ever not have support.
True.
The backing. I don't think there's anything that needs to work on as such. I think it just needs to get bigger, maybe. But that comes with time. So there's nothing I would really like for it to...
So you're happy with the way the community is right now?
Well, as I said, I had the problems.
Yeah,
apart from that, I guess it's okay.
Okay, awesome. What would you like to see change? What would you like, you know, a positive change that you would like to see in the community?
A positive change? I wouldn't like the society, the community itself to change. But what I would like to see more of is that I would like to see people from different backgrounds come together, at least, I would say. Because...
And by backgrounds, you mean?
Backgrounds from different places. I mean, people from IT people, geeks, nerds, gamers, and I don't know, audiophiles,
okay.
bookworms.
Doesn't the community already have that kind of a plethora?
Not really. Not that I've seen. I mean,
okay.
A lot of people I've noticed, unless you ask them about it, they don't make it prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not met a single gay gamer yet.
Okay, so that's the actual complaint. Where are the gay gamers? But wait, I think I know a few gay gamers. I should probably put you in touch with them. Yeah, there are a few gay gamers.
I mean, yeah, there are a few. But
I get what you're
as
saying.
Much as
yeah,
I would have
we need
expected.
More people out there.
Plus, what I've seen is, when in the community, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people tend to be... a lot of people whom I've noticed tend to be quite out and about it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, they're quite out about their sexuality.
Okay.
There's no subtle tone or...
Okay.
Yeah, there's no subtle tone to it. So what I would like to see is people who make it... what the problem with this is, it makes it a very uncomfortable image for people who do not wish to be associated with that image.
Okay, but again, we're getting into the whole thing of, do we need to be someone else so that people accept us?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. I don't expect you to change who you are, but at least if you're trying to... The community does not need to be so out about itself. It doesn't have to be so,
mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word, so gay or so lesbian. So,
okay.
Conformist image.
Whoever is calling Chandru again, please stop calling. He's on air. Okay.
so stereotypical image,
mm-hmm.
because... There are people who are quite gay and not necessarily as stereotypically gay, if that makes sense. Basically, people who are not so out about their sexuality, by out, I do not mean out to others.
Mm-hmm.
By out, I mean people who, for them, their sexuality is just another aspect about them.
Cool.
Like the way I believe in, you know?
Absolutely.
It's just another aspect of their lives. It's not something that defines them. It's not something that is a key feature that you'll notice about
mm-hmm.
them. So... If the community was more accepting, or not accepting, but less out about this, I think more and more people who are gay or who are LGBT, let me put it,
mm-hmm.
Would be comfortable to come in, because they do not want to be associated with an image like that.
Okay. So I must, however, tell you, Chandru, that while I completely accept that is your opinion,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people do not agree with you. So
I totally
so, like, for example,
that.
I myself have a huge problem with that kind of an attitude. But, I mean, we're all allowed our own opinions, and that's why we're a community, so we accept each other. That's totally fine. But, yes, I totally get that. I have a problem with people who do not behave like who they are supposed to be. But I have a huge problem with people behaving differently with different crowds. I mean, if I have to behave differently to appease someone else so that they feel comfortable to come into the community, then that's something I'm not too comfortable with. So.
I'm not expecting you to... I'm not asking you to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can tone it down a bit so that it becomes...
I get that, but do you realize that toning it down a bit sometimes itself is giving into that whole thing? That why do I need to tone myself down a bit if this is who I am in order to appease someone else's comfort zone? Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
I'd rather hang out with people who are comfortable with me already. Okay, so at that note, because we're never going to end this discussion otherwise, both have very strong ideas about this, and I think that's exactly what makes up a community. We've come to the end of our show, and it's time for me to thank you, Chandrasekhar, for coming on this show. It's awesome to have someone with such strong ideas and opinions.
Thank you for inviting me to the show, Romal, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, and I must say, you need to learn to talk louder.
I don't know if I can get any louder than this. Honestly don't.
Edwin, you need to train this boy to talk louder. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you need to.
Oh, don't give him ideas. Don't give him ideas, Romal.
Okay, guys. Right now, it's time for me to say bye.
See ya, people.
Bye.